Should be something that happens. And we're live. Good afternoon, folks. This is Walt covering for Mike Lafferty because he has a day job and he needs to support his salsa dance championship somehow. So today on the BAMF podcast, and more in depth, we have the Indie Creator Spotlight. We are talking to Apogee Comics front runner, super penciler, and all around cool guy, Nick Garber. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you today, sir?
Living like I stole it.
There you go.
And riding shotgun with me today is a longtime co-host, excellent gamer extraordinaire and game creator extraordinaire. And if you like zombies, please check out his staple of stuff over on DriveThruRPG. We have Mr. Chuck Rice. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How's it going, guys?
Right on. So I figure we'll get some chatting going like we've been doing just before the show, and then transition our way into talking Bengali and all things Apogee Comics. But before that, even though we did it the other day, quick toast and send off to Mr. Stanley. Good luck and good night. So anybody want to say anything real quick?
Fuck Bill Maher.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely fuck Bill Maher. Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that for years, but now I really just...
But then he went and insulted Stan Lee, so extra fuck him.
Yeah, I had to look him up. I had no idea who he was.
He's been on like a couple of shows. I still had to Google his ass.
So I wonder what prompted that. I mean, just because somebody was getting more media attention than him for 5 minutes?
He's an attention whore.
He's a shit heel, is what he is.
Neil Gaiman had the perfect response. He said... more people care about Stan Lee dead than care about Bill Maher alive.
You've just been. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Fuck Bill Maher. Yeah. I hope he's listening. I'll be on your show so I can tell you to your face, you pompous.
If not, we can send him a link.
We can send him a link.
It's all good.
I'm going to put it on the Twitter.
So what are you guys reading right now?
Shit, that's a good question. Actually, I'm reading, it's a book called Veterans Affairs, and it's written by, I got the book right here. I'm going to give him a shameless plug. Shane Michael Lassiter.
Nice.
And it's about a Marine sniper who gets out of the service, and he is a travel writer, and that is just a guise because he's also a contract killer.
I love it.
So... He goes and writes for these travel sites, and he'll go to places where the mark is, and then he goes and he exterminates them. And, you know, it's a pretty fun read. He's also got a zombie book too, since Chuck likes zombies, called Outlast, and it is a zombie survival story that takes place in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
Nice. So,
I work down here, and I've always said on multiple midnight shifts that if the zombie apocalypse was going to happen, it's coming from the south end of the border.
The caravan, is that how the zombies get in?
Oh man, I was watching that through a drone feed. Wait, can I say that? Yeah, drone feed. And it, you know, through thermals, it looked like something you would see on The Walking Dead.
Really?
Well, yeah, they've probably walked for, you know, 500 miles, right?
I mean,
a thousand miles.
I mean, they came from Honduras and Guatemala.
Yeah.
And they're just, and you watch the herds, the separate caravans kind of merge into each other. I'm sorry. That's
sensitivity training that you have.
Well, I was thinking Walking Dead, and that's what they call them. They call them the herds, you know.
Yeah. But, nice recovery.
Nice recovery. No. Man, never mind. I'm going to go to work on Friday and I'm going to be like, Garber, you're fucking fired. I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought this was America. I couldn't say that. No, but just watching it on the feed, it's really eerie, you know, especially, you know, being a geek and being in the zombie and horror movies and all things comics, and to see these large masses of people kind of just link up together and funnel in, and then, you know, of course they've been walking for 1,000 miles. So
yeah,
they're disheveled. The clothes are all messed up. I mean, it looks like a scene out of The Walking Dead. It was a trip.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Chuck, how about you? What are you checking out right now?
So, as I often do in my spare time, I'm expanding my game collection. And I am reading the Batman role-playing game, what? Which was a movie tie-in product to the first Batman game. It's by Mayfair Games, who I used to work for before they went out of business, sadly. And of course, they did DC Heroes. So the Batman RPG is that system, but it's just Batman.
Nice.
Like it's just him and the characters of Gotham City.
Oh, sweet.
So nice. Yeah.
And how does it play?
Yeah. And of course that's what I do in my spare time is I don't know. I study games basically.
So. Nothing wrong with that. I'm studying comic books, so I'm getting ready to pick up Batman Damned.
Is that the new one?
Yeah, it's the one with the infamous bat penis.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah,
they've got an illustration of Bruce Wayne's dong on there.
It's full Monty Batman.
Yeah, yep. It's full Monty Batman. They tried to shadow the penis, you know, kind of make it classy. You know, it's very tasteful bat penis, but
oh yeah. But look, you don't want to be all hardcore about it, right?
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't erect. You know, I mean, it was him stripping down at the end of a, you know, protecting the streets of Gotham, and
you got to air stuff out in that latex.
You know, like that UFC fighter. My balls was hot. Yeah, my balls was hot. So I'm picking that up. I don't really have a whole lot of time to read comics, unfortunately, because I'm over here creating them.
Yeah.
So most of my days when I'm not at the day job is reading scripts, reviewing thumbnails, matching it to the script, you know, providing aid guidance and, you know, tutelage to some of my artists, like, hey, this is how it should probably look, you know, and kind of giving them that insight. So that's pretty much most of my day. And when I do get to read comic books, I mean, I got a stack of stuff that I'm like, oh, I'm going to read it eventually. Really, I'm gonna have to take it to the bathroom, the second office, and you know that's where I'm gonna get my reading done. My legs fall asleep
because that's the only door that doesn't get unlocked when you lock it.
Yeah, pretty much. Nobody wants to go in there.
I try to do that, but then the new addition to the family keeps pushing his way in.
Dog.
Yeah. And he likes to sit there and stare at you until he gets bored enough, and then he sets his head in your lap, which is very
look. He very awkward. Understand?
Like, please don't lick. Please don't lick. Please don't lick.
You know, taking a dump is a team sport. Well, why don't you just get on the team?
And this is just goes right into Nick's useless knowledge. The shit that I look up. Dogs when they look at you when they're doing that. Is because it's like a primitive,
like guard my back.
Yeah. It's like, they're making sure that you're watching because they feel that they're vulnerable. So that's why they want to come into the bathroom with you. It was like, oh, if you're going to the bathroom, I got your back, dude.
See? Yeah. He's your buddy, Walt.
Yeah. Yep. So the best is though, when the door's closed and you see the paw slide under there.
Yeah.
I'm right here for you.
It's like, hey dude, take my paw, man. I got you.
You start hearing like Bette Midler songs in the background. Oh my God.
The wind beneath my wings.
By the way, I have, speaking of my expanding game collection, I have Justice Inc. on the way.
Really?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Justice Inc. is,
it sounds exciting though.
Hero Games. So Champions, it's the same system as that.
He hasn't gamed as much as we have. So
yeah. It's their two-fisted pulp supplement. So like 1920s vigilantes like the Shadow. It's stuff like that.
The Phantom. Okay.
It's great. So you're gonna run a session for this for Nick and I online, right?
Wow, that might be able to be arranged. Yeah.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. Chuck has already agreed, and we'll be setting a date after this.
Hell yeah.
And you know, Mike Lafferty will be involved too, because you know, anything pulp is his jam.
It's his jam.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So anything on the comics horizon that you guys are excited about other than Apogee Comics?
Oh, there's a Daredevil book coming out soon that I'm super stoked about. Someone sent it to me. What is it? Where is it? Oh, that's inappropriate. Okay.
More dogs looking at you in the bathroom?
No.
It's all just bat penises.
All my friends are grunts, law enforcement. You know, they send me some pretty messed up shit.
And I never would have guessed.
And every so often I get some like, hey, you might be interested in this. it's comes out in February of next year. No Fear. And no is spelled as in like K-N-O-W.
Nice.
And it's by Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cecchetto.
Nice.
The image is a picture of Daredevil's cowl and it's on fire. So,
what's the premise? Did they release that yet?
I'm sure it's released. I just haven't looked it up. But
gotcha.
Me being a fan of all things Daredevil, as you can probably see somewhere, I got his Netflix cowl that I just put the lens in. Super stoked about that.
Right.
Now I just got to hit the gym so I can get the rest of the suit and not look like a busted can of biscuits.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
No, I'm laughing at me with my fat ass. So
I feel your pain. I tore a ligament in my ankle a couple weeks ago. So I put on like 5 pounds and you know, I'm walking around like, oh, broken.
Oh, broken. Yeah. So just so the people at home watching.
Nice.
My cowl with the lenses.
That is cool as fuck.
Yeah. And it was cheap as hell too. I think it was like $50. Wow. And while I was on there, I was on a spending spree. I was drinking. surprise, surprise. I do some of my best shopping. But I need to start leaving sober me notes so I know what's coming.
Yeah. Hey, you look, know? At $50, you'd have been stupid not to buy it. Just
right.
Yeah.
So I bought that and Cap's helmet.
Excellent. Oh, nice.
Which is in the closet. It's I don't know who he used for the head, but apparently they had a giant fucking head. Yeah. Because when I put it on, I look like a little kid wearing Cap's helmet. So modifications are going to have to be done. But yeah, huge Daredevil fan. So that's what I'm excited about.
How about you, Chuck? What comics branded is coming up that you're into?
So I actually would be the guy that would need stuff recommended to him. I've kind of tuned out of, because I find the big two incredibly frustrating these days. So pretty much the only comic that I'm still keeping up with on a monthly basis is the Walking Dead, which, is still good, although getting crazier over time. So
have you tried out Lazarus?
I've not.
Highly recommend. Image Comics, and, in the near future, America has been divided up into a series of baronies, and each section has this one family that basically runs the whole thing.
Oh, it kind of sounds like Enter the Badlands.
Yes, except not as dystopian. Okay. They still have civilization. They still have, you know, like common things like electricity, running water, blah, blah, blah. It's just that things have degenerated to the point where certain sections of the country couldn't work with each other anymore, and they just had to split. So enter.
So it's the future.
Yes.
Where we become so tribal, we turn on each other. I get it. Okay.
So business interactions are held between these families through intermediaries, and the intermediaries are called the Lazarus. Each family has one. And they're usually sent as envoys because it's too dangerous for any member of the family to travel from one barony to the other. So these Lazarus are genetically modified and enhanced with nanotechnology, so they can withstand tremendous amounts of damage, heal.
Love nanotech.
Right. Heal crazy amounts. They're no Max Malone, but
well, very few are, sir, except for us.
just the first graphic novel, if you just pick that one up, gives you a taste for the world that is so visceral and so nasty. I mean, and as a added bonus, Green Ronin Games is going to be producing a role-playing game soon. So I'm sure that would have a gazetteer in it that would, you know, for guys who aren't caught up on the, I think it's up to 8 volumes now for the graphic novels.
And it's called Lazarus?
Yes. Yes. Nick, this is a title. It will blow your mind. The main character,
ordering it on Mile High Comics right now.
I thought I could reach with my headset. It's not going to happen, but, I got the comics over there.
We need Bluetooth headsets. That's what we need.
Yes. Yes.
But we can explore the space.
It's true. I should, instead of having a fixed camera, I should get a drone that follows me around the room.
Up and take my money.
The only problem with that is Belgian Malinois.
Yeah, of course.
He'd be like, the drone, $20.
You know what, though? If the drone would follow him around, that would also probably be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, that would be a YouTube channel I would become a millionaire on. We can't have that because my life is supposed to suck. So,
Spoken like a true grunt.
Spoken like a true infantryman. Lazarus, if you're looking for something to read, they have multiple volumes out right now. Okay.
I'm gonna get that. So all of my physical space is basically devoted to games, and so I will get that on Comixology though.
Nice.
Is it on Comixology too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's got its image. It's got to be. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think so. They were just running a sale earlier.
I was running a sale on something.
If you have Comixology Unlimited, the first several volumes are. Are up, but if not, they also have a free prelude that you can download. They're up to 5 volumes now. I'm sorry, I thought it was more than that.
But now, are these like graphic novels, or are they like 22-page single issue type deals?
It's all single issues, and then some of them are collected, so they have collected trades by now.
Yeah, so they have. I'm seeing at least 3 trades on Comixology that are all unlimited.
Yes.
Nice. Oh, Greg Rucka. Yeah. Oh, fucking hey, Greg Rucka.
You're like, I didn't know Greg was all this.
Yeah, very, very good. Like I said, the first issue blew me away. I begged and pleaded Santa Claus to get me the collecteds last year. and you know, my wife came through telling me that Santa was a big fan of mine and made it happen. So, right, Santa. Oh, Santa. So
Santa better bring what I asked, man.
So, but yeah, we have quite a few volumes available, and the story is very, very good. Like I said, when your leading image for this series is a woman who's obviously looks pissed that she's been shot in the head.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
You know it's going to be good.
So yeah, it looks like 5 volumes plus a volume that looks like some kind of crossover, and then a source book.
Yes.
That sounds like a thing Greg Rucka would do. Just straight up release like a world book for his comic.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's really good. So please, you know, if you check that out, and then later on, give a chin check over to our friends over at Green Ronin, because there's their book's coming out soon for the modern age game system.
Oh, I'm a huge Green Ronin fan, so I will definitely. And is modern age out? I don't think it is yet. Is it?
It is. You can get it on DriveThruRPG, or you can go to their site directly and get both digital and Dead Tree. So, definitely check out the boys and girls over at Green Ornine and see what they're doing, because I don't know when the Lazarus RPG drops. I know it's soon.
It sounds like it would make a badass video game, too.
Oh, it definitely would, especially going to different baronies and stuff like that. When you got to travel, you would have all that open world. We were just talking Ghost Recon Wildlands a little while ago, and that open world that you were talking about, you could totally do that in Lazarus.
And just like the Assassin's Creed games too.
Oh yeah.
I haven't picked up Odyssey because I haven't finished Origins, and I have OCD when it comes to video games. So, but I kind of broke cycle because I didn't finish Syndicate either. I got halfway through and I was like, this one's boring the shit out of me.
Right.
But
did you do the pirate one?
Black Flag? Yeah. I did Black Flag. I was a hardcore fan from 1 up until 4. And then the other ones, after they killed Desmond, I was just kind of like,
Yeah, I gotcha. Really quick, I'm going to share my screen. Boom. There we go. There's the pre-order up right now.
Oh, yeah, I misspelled that. I went to art school. What do you want from me?
So there's the pre-order right now. You can go over to Green Run Inn and check that out on their online store.
It's not bad on the price either.
No, especially for
144 pages. Holy shit.
Yeah, good stuff. Oop, there we go. All right, I'm free.
As I shrink into obscurity like a man.
So speaking of shrinking away and coming back, let's talk Bengali.
Ooh, the demon of San Diego.
Yes.
San Diego.
And give us a little backstory as I put away my blunt force segue and let us know where did we start and where are we going?
Ooh, okay. Well, where we started with Bengali issue 1. It centers around the main protagonist, which is Benny Vasquez. He is a police sketch artist for the San Diego Police Department, where his cousin and very close friend is a detective there. He's got some really troubling family drama with a half brother. And let's just say there was a contract out for Benny's life, and it did get kind of carried out, but not the completion. And while he was bleeding out, he's hearing this voice in the darkness. And it was the Mask of Bengali calling from him. That was in a temple buried somewhere in probably Balboa Park, you know, because that place is crazy. And the mask talks to him, makes him a deal. So it's got a little bit of like a little Faust in there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm influenced by so many things. And when me and Renee, who's the writer of the book, Renee Garza, talked about how we were going to explore this character and where we were going to go with it, we came up with a lot of these themes that kind of influenced us that always, you know, seemed to make very interesting stories. So a Faustian deal, kind of give it a twist. You know, we really wanted to explore the idea of duality. You know, most superheroes are already dealing with duality. They have the alter ego and then they got their hero persona, but we wanted to kind of put our own little spin on it. So the mask is sentient, you know, and you're going to understand its sentience as the series progresses, and see how the mask influences Benny and how Benny influences the mask. And we'll eventually get to a point where there's going to be a very difficult friction point, which is going to have some cosmic consequences to it.
So now is the mask influencing him or like when you say friction, they're just talking to each other
in the first issue. The mask doesn't make its presence known. It just Benny thinks that it's just giving him powers. Mm-hmm. And it's and Benny at this point, because someone tried to take his life, is just like any human being would be, like, you know, they're pissed off about it. It's a significant emotional event. So he has revenge on the mind. I want to find who did this, and I really want to fuck these dudes up, you know. And the mask is just kind of influencing him by sending him sensations, feelings like, hey, I got you. I got your back. We can do this. Just let me loose, dude. You know, because the mask is at this point inherently evil. It's very dark, you know. I don't even want to say it's evil. Evil is kind of an ambiguous term. Anything could be evil depending on the right
perspective.
Right perspective. So the mask is going to do what it wants to do, which is it's completely primal. It's emotion driven. It's instinct driven. It has a mission, which you won't find out anytime soon, but it will be revealed. So he's got the mask and he starts going after. Yeah, there it is. Oh, that first issue cover done by Jason Metcalf, phenomenal artist.
And magic. This is magic right magic. Here, people. And magic. If you look behind Nick's right shoulder, you can see that the Mask of Bengali is watching.
And it's, I don't know if you can see the glowing eyes, but I put LEDs in there. Yeah, it's kind of like going to the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Yeah.
So issue one, he gets the mask and it heals him. It patches him up and gives him enhanced strength, agility. There's some other cool little tricks in there too. I don't want to give too much away if you haven't read it. And he exacts a little bit of revenge on the guy that tried to kill him, you know, in some very horrific ways. So issue two takes off immediately after that. And we introduce a new villain and we just kind of dive a little bit further into what makes Bengali tick, you know, and issue two is where the mask starts kind of talking to him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, man, I'm here. Name's Korg. You know, what? Yeah, let's go out for coffee.
Yeah. So what? I'm about to ask the nerdiest of all questions. What kind of power level are we talking about here? Is he a street level type or?
No,
he is. I would say very close to like Spider-Man level.
I'd say he's about that. As the story progresses, we're going to figure out how powerful he really is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So like at first,
but at first all he's
doing is enhancing him physically, but there's more going on.
Right. And there's, and people like to make that comparison. But there's some Venom type stuff going on there. I think mainly just because of the duality of the character. And that he had the tendrils of the suit, because the mask is alive, it wants to protect itself and its host. It needs the host to be whole.
Right.
So there are things that are going on, the tendrils. Eventually we're going to get into a power set that I called the Void Pool, where he can throw out part of his suit and it creates a portal where he can, you know, travel through, jump out and
you can't see it because I'm wearing like thick clothing, but little pricklies on the back of the neck when you just said that.
You know, so it's something that like I've envisioned in my head and I've talked to the writer about. I'm like, I really want to see this incorporated in a fight scene, you know, like just something as simple as like he throws the pool, he sticks an arm out there, comes out somewhere, hits the guy in the back of the head. Maybe the tendril from his back flies through the void pool, wraps the dude up, sucks him through the void pool, throws him around. You know, just all these wild ideas going in my head, you know, stuff that you can obviously tell that I was a huge Spider-Man fan also back in the day, especially when Venom was around, Todd McFarlane was drawing him, you know, and there was things that was like, man, it'd be cool if he could do this. It'd be cool if he could do that. So what I've kind of done is reinvented the wheel with some of these archetypes and formatted them to things that I wished I saw in certain comic books growing up.
So we got what, 18 days left?
I think we're at 17 right now. It's been a tough ride on this Kickstarter. Most of the Kickstarters have been funded right around this time, or at least close to it. We're usually in stretch goals by now. I think it has something to do with the holidays.
Most likely, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, and I don't have a huge following, but I have a loyal following. So I know it's the holidays. People's bank accounts are tapped. I know mine is because I have kids and they want the most crazy shit.
they don't want a Daredevil mask or a Captain America helmet.
The little one, Izzy, my youngest, she does.
Nice.
She does. She's all about all things geek and all things that dad are into, which is great because I know eventually she's gonna grow out of it like the older one did. But actually I'm developing a character with her.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Okay, so she wanted to create a character. I almost spilled my coffee. That would have sucked because it has booze in it.
It's alcohol abuse.
I know, you know, and I don't want to do that because I'm a good person. The character's name is Violet Volt. And she has electrical power. She can fly. She has supervision. She's a college student. And she... What the hell did I write there?
Gotta love a whiteboard, huh?
Works with something. I don't know. So
puppies.
Works with puppies. Yeah. She's a big animal lover. So we sat in this office. She goes, Dad, I want to make a character with you. And I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. So we sat down there and we went through, I have like a little makeshift power wheel of, you know, different archetypes and power sets and things like that. And she goes, oh, I think electricity would be cool. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do that. I'm like, what else can she do? And at first she overpowered the shit out of her, you know, because, you know, what little kid doesn't want this overpowered superhero that can do everything, you know? I was shit, like, no, we gotta dial it back a little bit, dial it back, you know? And she goes, well, he needs a bad guy, or she needs a bad guy. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. So let's think about a bad guy. Since her powers are electrical based, usually what could probably interfere with that? Let's make it a water-based villain. You know, and I kind of borrowed the power set from Hydra Man. So that's where we're going with that. Eventually I'll throw in a book.
That's awesome.
You know, so I got to pull a Stan Lee on this one and create a character with my daughter, which I thought was really cool.
Nice.
So she has the drawing framed in her bedroom. I had made a print of it for her and she goes, no, I want the original. And I'm like, but the original looks like shit. You know, it was a really early concept drawing. And she's like, Dad, I want the suit for next Halloween. And I'm like, oh God. Okay. Yeah. You know how to work your old man.
You're going to cosplay her own character.
She's going to cosplay her own character. I might do a little 8 or 10 page mini book of it. Awesome. And then if I can get it done by April, it'll be available at South Texas Comic Con, which is the last weekend in April.
Tap that young adult market.
Yeah. Yeah. Tap that. Cause I don't really, I mean, I have some teenage characters, but I don't, and I think she actually wants to go younger. I think she comes, she's like, Dad, I don't think I want her in college. I think I want her to be more my age. And I'm like, you want her to be in elementary school? All right, fuck it. Let's do this. So that's where we're at with that.
Right on. So right now with Bengali 2, we're looking at about a quarter of the way funded, little less than a quarter of the way funded.
A little less than a quarter. I think it's somewhere around like 18, 19% funded. The dogs are going apeshit.
That's okay. We like dogs.
Yeah, but they always do this when I'm on a podcast. They're like, oh, Dad's right. Doing something important. He probably needs peace and quiet.
And we got 17 days to go. So what are some of the things in the tiers and the backing levels that can really stoke people's imaginations or get them excited about Bengali?
I think probably one of the best things that we have going on in there. I mean, they're all really good backing rewards. I mean, we got the mask available, you know, which you saw earlier. But that's a really high level tier. The Gear Hound is probably the one that the last Kickstarter I did, the Gear Hound was the one that was the most popular. And that was a copy of the book and a t-shirt and a trading card. A lot of people like that. I got some, I'm offering original artwork by myself, you know, custom stuff. So, that's the Mr. Hugo. That's a $50 pledge. You get a copy of the book, in print and digital. And now that I know how to convert it to CBR files.
Oh, cool.
You know, it makes it a lot easier. So you're not getting this huge PDF file anymore. And then you get a custom sketch by me, and it doesn't even have to be one of my characters or anything in the Apogee universe. I'll draw anything. So, and then we're offering original pages from issue 2.
Nice.
That's for the diehard fan. You get a t-shirt, you get an original page from the book, and you get a poster. We had the early bird special, which a couple of people backed, and that was going to have a variant cover of the book. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. And then I got things to help catch people up. If they're new to the universe, they're just new to the character. That's definitely offered to get an issue 1. War drums, which you have behind you.
I do.
That gives a little insight into where we're going with the universe, what we want to do. I think Ray did a really, Ray Merrick, who wrote that, did a phenomenal job to tell a story in 8 pages and kind of give you a really good sense of kind of where we're going. So
Yeah, it's a really, really cool book. Really cool concept. The whole concept of the Apogee universe, the way you're doing it, because we've talked behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
People should get in on the ground floor because when they see how this all connects, very, very groovy. But I mean, the thing about Bengali, I mean, when you look at the book, it's very kinetic. There's not a lot of like X-Men from the 90s where it's like, these are the days of our lives. And then they have like, you know, cheesy music and they're talking about their feelings for 15 minutes. You know,
no, we here at Apogee like to just drop you in, you know, so when you open up the first page, it's usually like, holy shit, what the hell's going on? You know, you feel like you missed something, but as you read on, you're like, okay, I didn't miss anything. That's where they put me. And yeah, I was kind of discombobulated at first, but now I'm really liking what the hell's going on. And Rich did an amazing job on the artwork.
Even scenes where it's just, you know, you have characters that are contemplating or flashbacks. There's a lot of energy that goes in on these pages.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked out Bengali One, first of all, it's a gorgeous looking book. Good quality paper. Lots of brilliant effects. You can tell somebody did a lot of work. Colors and inks, and it just, you know, the pencils are fantastic. You know, you never look at a page of this and think, what am I looking at? You know, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rich did a phenomenal job. He's working on issue 4 right now. You know, we like to plan ahead. And issue 4 is going to be the start of the next arc, and we're going to start getting into some more darker material, some more mystical, magical type stuff. But in this first arc, we're really kind of dealing with him being this, you know, setting him up to be a street level guy with potential to be a larger player inside the universe.
You had a question, Chuck?
Yeah. Can I get these online anywhere?
You can actually order them through our Facebook site. We have a store now set up on Facebook. It's functional. We actually had a sale not too long ago. Like, okay. I was so happy. It was like our first sale. like, hey, I want all these. And I'm like, you got them, bud. So if you go to Facebook and look up Apogee Comics and go to shop now, there's a button right there on the homepage. We're still developing the website, and we're kind of figuring out which way we want to go with it, whether it be an informational site or an e-commerce site. I'm kind of leaning more towards informational since, you know, social media is now letting you open up shops, which I think is great. It just saves me that's one less thing I got to add or code or anything like that. So that's probably that'll be up here probably before the new year. So if anybody goes to apogeecomics.net right now, it's just going to tell you that there's nothing up there. So, but we're still working on that. So if you are interested in purchasing the books, we have Bengali issue 1, we have sketch cover editions of issue 2, which has a black and white interior. And if you buy that, I will throw a custom sketch on there for free for the price of the book. We also have the Crimson Guardians and Phantom Hawk issue 1, the new Phantom Hawk, soft reboot continuation type deal for that.
What do you call it? For those interested who would like to catch up, but also like to support the Kickstarter, the Apogee Universe bundle has a nice selection of stuff. For $30, you get Bengali 1 and 2, Phantom Hawk number 1, Crimson Guardians number 1, and then you get 2 trading cards with that. So yeah. You cannot go wrong with going that way, because that'll give you a nice selection of the comics that Apogee puts out, and will definitely show you the passion of storytelling. I was hooked on the first series of Phantom Hawk
way back in the day. I was like 2 publishers ago.
Loved the story, loved the presentation, ever since, I've been following Nick and what he's doing over here with Apogee, and you cannot go wrong with these comics. It's good storytelling. Like I said, kinetic storytelling too. But one of the things I always loved, and Nick and I have talked about this in the past, I like that supporting characters aren't like the save me characters. Like, you know, you have in Batman, you typically see, you know, Barbara Gordon or Commissioner Gordon or whatever. They're always
Dale. The other reporter that they got going on over there. Yeah. Right. It's characters that always need saving, you know, and that's something that always kind of bugged me about comics. I was like, no one can be this inept. No one can be that in need of saving. I'm sure there are, but I don't see it as a realistic trope. You know,
and the supporting cast in Phantom Hawk is amazing. I mean, Gonzo and Downs, the doctor, right? I mean, these, you know, you think, oh my God, typical woman doctor. She's kind of hot. She's going to need saving. And all of a sudden, you know, she's like, don't
make 40 caliber pistol.
You know what I mean? I'll show you Hippocratic Oath.
Do no harm my ass.
Right. But I mean, good solid characters that have more than just, oh, I need saving. You know, what kind of supporting cast should we be able to look forward to in Bengali?
Bengali's got Denise, Denise Vasquez, who is the detective there in the San Diego Police Department. And I'm really excited, and I hate jumping the gun, but as we progress, when you get to like issue 3, she's a total badass. She's like on the hunt for Bengali, you know, and it creates that friction because, you know, her cousin is Bengali. So you start seeing that, and, you know, Bengali's going to do some fucked up shit, you know, because of just who he is, you know, and it's kind of like Benny has one hand on the wheel. You know, he can still kind of steer, but it's kind of hard. Sometimes the demon takes over and, you know, gets a little too violent, you know, starts tearing off limbs and shit like that.
I never would have seen that in that first issue.
No, you would have been completely lost on you. Wait till you see the second issue. You know, like Mr. Hugo is having nightmares about this guy. You know, and Mr. Hugo was supposed to be like this hardcore, stoic fucking assassin, right-hand man, you know, and he got his ass handed to him hard, you know, in the first issue. And the dude just keeps coming back. And eventually he's going to evolve into something a little bit more dangerous, which we're going to see. He'll have a cameo in Phantom Hawk issue 2, along with some of the other major player villains in the Apogee universe.
Nice.
So we're starting to link these books together. The idea at first was to do a couple of issues with these characters, let you get familiar with them. And now we're just kind of like, you know what? Why don't we throw some stuff in there? Little guest appearances, little cameos, you know, to let you know that the universe is connected. So that's the major supporting character that we have right now going on Bengali is Denise. Everyone else really doesn't have a name. And you got your antagonist, which is Benny's half brother, Jesus Vasquez, who's this corporate mogul, kind of a douche, you know, very Lex Luthor type guy, you know, all for the moral good, sort of, and profit. So, now, if you have a corporate bad guy, you know, he's got to be for profit. Yeah, there's got to be a profit margin involved. So those are the supporting characters that we have right now for Bengali. And we're definitely going to expand that. And you could expect that the supporting character, they won't be like, they'll be just like all the other supporting characters in the sense that they won't need savings. They can hold their own. You know, I would like to develop them to the point where, like I did with Downs and Gonzo, where these guys could carry their own fucking book. You know, I know Walt's kind of just drooling at the fact that there's a possibility of a Downs and Gonzo spinoff series.
Just take my money.
And I'd love to
take my pants with it.
Drawing those two characters, which is funny because those two characters are based off friends of mine that I went to Iraq with. And the guy that Gonzo is inspired by, I'm like, dude, you got to quit changing your fucking hair, man. Because you're throwing my shit off, you know, and you got to quit hitting the gym so much because now you're like rock size, you know. So I'm having to like change his character a little bit. And I'm like, well, I gave you hair and a goatee. You're just going to have to deal with it. You know, and then Drew Downs, I just talked to him the other day. He bought the Stan Lee tribute piece that I did.
Oh my God, that was so awesome.
I wasn't going to sell it, but since it was him, if anyone else would have asked, I probably would have told him like, nah, but he was like, hey man, I really love that. I want to, and he does, he machines shit. So he can do like woodworking, metalworking, things like that. He's a machinist. So we're developing a frame for that piece. you know, with some Marvel-esque, you know, stuff going on there in the borders. So,
nice.
Good buddy of mine. He was either I was his spotter or he was my spotter. I think we just flip-flopped quite a bit. Like, you want to take the shot today? Nah, you're good, man. So,
hey, while I'm sitting down here, can you rub my back? Shut up.
Okay, but you're not going to like it. Dude, why are you nude? Don't tell me how to sniper.
How about it, Chuck? Any nude sniper questions or questions about Bengali?
No nude sniper questions. I think okay. I'm good there.
Any clothed sniper questions? I got way more of those stories. Or do I?
A question I do have, and feel free to tell me, you know, to fuck off. But I just want to make sure we're clear that, yeah, you can always tell me to fuck off. Have you considered putting any of these on like Drive-Thru Comics or?
They were originally.
They were, yeah. A lot of okay. the first volume of Phantom Honk was in there, and I think some of the original Solarium Prime and The Last Pendragon was also in Drive-Thru Comics. Now that I've been able to convert them to CBR, which a lot of people are asking for, mm-hmm. It should be easier for me to do that. And it's just something that I haven't gotten around to. I want to do it. Mm-hmm. I've had good success with Drive-Thru Comics in the past.
Right.
So that's if the Kickstarter just doesn't fund, it's already created. Mm-hmm. It's already put together. It's already packaged. It's ready to go. So this would actually be the first Apogee Kickstarter that's going to have the shortest turnaround.
And CBR is basically the comic is JPEGs, right?
Yeah, it's JPEGs. It's
I feel like I've used
CBR. It's a different zip format.
Okay.
I got a lot of
reduces the file size.
It reduces the file size for these things, you know. So right. online and for your mobile device. Mm-hmm. That's what one of the things I love about doing comics is like we don't know everything, you know. So we'll get a fan that's like, "Hey man, is this gonna be available in CBR?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, absolutely." What the fuck is that? You know, yeah. Going full Deadpool. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. So I'm over here and you know Googling shit for an hour and a half, falling down the rabbit hole, and figuring out how to do it. And now that I know how to do it, it's a lot easier for me to get these books out. For the backers that have wanted a digital format, you know, so I had to run it through a couple of different comic book readers online and on my phone to make sure that they work. And now that I know they work and I know I can do it, it should be pretty easy.
Yeah, you can get a CBR reader right on the Play Store or the App Store.
Yeah, and I found a couple of good ones, and all the ones that were like free I downloaded so I can try them out on different formats to make sure that they work. Cause I don't know what everybody's using. I want to make sure that it's cross platform. Right. You know, some now, people.
When you say that the PDFs are big, how big are we talking? Like, are we talking
huge.
A gig or?
Almost. Yeah. Some of them.
Okay.
Some of them are gig, but when I reduce the file size, I mean, it significantly drops the
right.
size of the file, which is great because who wants to spend like an hour downloading a fucking comic book?
Yeah.
You know, because usually I just speaking from personal experience, if I'm downloading a digital book, I want it to be quick. I want to read it, you know, and I want to move on about my day or reread it again. And I dropped my pen, lost 10 cool points. But
well, yeah, a point of buying anything digitally is, you know, you can buy a copy of Hamlet while you're drunk at 3 a.m. sitting in your underwear.
And you know what? I've been in that scenario, you know, or any Shakespearean tale for that matter, drunk at 3 a.m., because that's when I feel the most philosophical and artistic. So,
well, of course. Yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean,
you don't read it. You buy it. Then you
buy it. And then you wake up in the morning sober with a hangover and going,
yeah,
why did I buy? I already own Hamlet. Oh, drunk Nick, you did it to me again. You didn't even leave a message, you asshole.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but the whole point for digital is to ease of access, quick mm-hmm. download speeds, and, you know, being able to read it anytime, anywhere you want. So yeah, drive-through comics, Comixology, these are all things that we are getting ready to put into motion. Comixology, their process is a little bit lengthy. It's slow and it's lengthy. There's a lot of formatting things that you have to do. It has to be a very specific way. The way you set up your profile has to be done a certain way. They're very strict on that. And that's good. You know, it's a good gatekeeper. So not any Tom, Dick, and Harry that can draw a stick figure and knows how to work a computer can throw a book on there.
Right.
So it's definitely a quality control thing. And I appreciate that. It's just, it's frustrating because every time I think I have it right, they send me a letter going, not so right this time. It's closer, getting better, but keep trying. So yeah, we're going to throw it on drive-through first because they actually have the least amount of restrictions in what you can post,
right,
or what you can display. Their split isn't too bad on sales either. You know, they take a cut of like 30% and then you get the rest. So
that sounds like, yeah, what they do with RPGs also.
Yeah. And I've got an account and I need to set the thing back up. I need to gear it more towards Apogee stuff because I've had other comic book publishing companies in the past and they just didn't pan out. Just things didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've taken my lessons on why they failed so majestically that they did. But the thing to focus on is what got created during those times and how I can bring those over into Apogee. So like the original Phantom Hawk Tales that I did, there's 5 issues of that and I still got 2 more issues to do. Eventually I'll release those as a trade paperback, you know, and I'm calling it Phantom Hawk Declassified, you know, so it gives you that story before you pick up into his introduction into the Apogee universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some hints, or not hints, but there are some things that are mentioned in there that kind of play back to the original arc, which was, I was ambitious. I was a very young creator. This was in 2011. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make a fucking 7-issue fucking story arc. It's going to be badass. You know, and when I drew the first couple of issues, I was like, man, I am not prepared for this, you know, but it came out good. I got really lucky with that one. And it was probably because it was just a story from the heart. It's something I've been developing for the last 25 plus years. You know, from a doodle in math class to where he is now. So.
Well, where we are right now is pretty much at the end of the hour, but if people want to go and check out Bengali number 2 on Kickstarter, if you just put it into a Kickstarter search, it'll come right up.
Yeah, just type in Bengali. Both of them will pop up, but you're looking for issue 2. And then then click the reward that gives you issue 1 if you haven't already read it.
And like I said, these books are highly exciting and great art, nice, thick, meaty books. I mean, they feel good in the hand. They come bagged and boarded. If you want the digital, I'm sure Nick will can send you an empty bag and board or something with like whatever.
Yeah. A thumb drive inside the bag and board. And a sticker that says, you did it.
Chuck, how about it? Any parting thoughts?
It all sounds very interesting to me. Like indie comics is a thing that I find fascinating, but I don't encounter them in the wild very much. So
that's the hard thing is the distribution. That's really the biggest problem that we're having because mm-hmm. obviously we don't have the big 3, you know, money to get into Diamond. But what's really great right now is that they're starting to bring back spinner racks in grocery mm-hmm. stores and drug stores. You know, we're starting to, for the longest time, I think probably for the last 20, 25 years, you know, to get comic books, you had to go to a comic book store.
Right.
You know, where I was introduced to comics, and I'm sure Walt was introduced to comics, was being a kid going to your local grocery store and pulling shit off the spinner rack for 50 to 75 cents. Fuck, I'm old. It's like, fuck, I'm old, because that shit don't exist anymore. So now I'm in a conversation with the big chain here in Texas, their grocery store, to try and get Apogee into their.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, because I wanted to go the Amazon route, but, you know, I'm a poor little comic book writer and artist. So ISBN numbers are fucking expensive. And to put them on, you know, to get them on Amazon or some of these other places, it's, you know.
But now, do they require you to, I thought.
Amazon requires an ISBN.
Okay. I thought one of their print on demand services, I want to say like Lightning Source or Create Space. I thought they would give you an ISBN.
Well, Lightning Source?
No. Lightning Source is drive.
Create Space maybe.
Yeah. It's
Create Space.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I'm learning shit.
Well, just keep in mind too, Create Space is going to be going away. It's going to be folded into Kindle Direct.
Okay. I spelled Kindle wrong. I went to art school. What do you want from me?
But it's still going to be the same. I think it's still
format.
Gonna...
Yep.
Well, if I can get it in now, once it gets absorbed, I mean, all that stuff should be absorbed with it. Like I said, I'm always learning new stuff. I had no idea about these. That would probably save me a lot.
Oh yeah, because that's a big reason we went with Create Space back in the RPG Objects day is that exact reason. We were like, man, buying ISDN sounds like a fucking sucker's game. So
right, you know, so we're trying to get into these grocery stores, and I'm sitting on like 500 copies of each of our titles that are, if you look around my office, it's more of a warehouse now than anything else. So it's t-shirts, it's swag, it's action figures from the Apogee universe, which I'd show you, but you guys would all get really wet.
It's true.
So, I mean, we got great things on the horizon. And we're trying not to really rely on Kickstarter. The thing that we're really trying to push is just keep putting out books that we've always wanted to create or stories we've always wanted to tell. The next one after this is Corvid and Sparrow, our female team, our dynamic duo, if you will. And they got a great villain. Mm-hmm. I mean, I created them, but even there's things even I create. I look back, I'm like, who the fuck did this? I'm like, this doesn't seem like me, because I swear to God, Jim Lee came over here in the middle of the night and drew this thing. With a note that says, you know, keep pushing. So, which I got to meet him a couple of weeks ago at Alamo City, and that was great.
Oh, I'll bet that was awesome.
Yeah, especially the t-shirt that I'm wearing now, which was the cover for Phantom Hawk issue 4, volume 1. He's mid-signature, and he stops, and he pokes me in the chest with his Sharpie. And he goes, who's this? I'm like, sir, that's my creative own property, Phantom Hawk, which, you know, was inspired by your artwork on Batman. You know, I turn into a total fanboy. I'm like, oh my God, Senpai noticed me. You know, the guy that's been like my creative and artistic influence and deity for the last 30 something years, you know.
I apologize for the big outburst. That was really good use of Japanese, by the way.
Oh yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, I've been hanging around you for a couple of years now, so some of the stuff was bound to rub off.
That's not what rubbed off.
So he stops and he asks about it, and you know, he goes, man, the artwork's amazing. And I'm like, oh my God. Said, the artwork's amazing. He goes, who did it? I'm like, I did. Fucking me. And he's like, no, it's really good. You know, keep going, you know. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, man, of all the times not to have a business card on you. You're like, hey, if you want him, he's available. You want to draw him? Because that was my intent of trying to meet him, was hopefully he was doing con sketches, because I brought a Phantom Hawk issue 5 blank cover. Mm-hmm. You know, I got one done by Jay Lee a couple of years ago, and kind of developed a friendship with him, because there wasn't a whole lot of people at his table, which I thought was surprising because it's Jay fucking Lee. And one day I just kind of grabbed my balls and I was like, I'm gonna go talk to the guy. And next thing you know, we're eating nachos together. So I commissioned him to do that blank, and all I could afford was the 250, which was supposed to be a bust, but we had kind of been talking and hanging out throughout the con because he was in very close proximity to my table, which was, you know, a gift from the gods. And he comes back with a full blown figure drawn on both pages, you know, of this just swooping Phantom Hawk, which I would call the movie suit. Mm-hmm. He kind of took some liberties with it, which were just freaking creative genius moves. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. You're so fucking awesome. And
Fanvoice Nick is actually pretty funny.
Fanboy, do you want fries with that, Mr. Simpson? It kind of goes into that guy sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. But, or even Morty from Rick and Morty, if you're a fan of that show. Like, I don't know, Rick. I don't know if we have the money for this. Shut up, Morty. Just give the man all the money you have.
Anybody that isn't a fan of Rick and Morty is suspect in my mind.
Oh, yeah. I give him side eye.
I'm just Yeah.
Really? You're not a fan of Rick and Morty? I just ordered a Rick and Morty ugly sweater for Christmas, and I'm going to wear it.
Fucking A. Yeah, you are.
And Rick's drunk as fuck on it, and Morty's just like, I don't know, Rick, should you be drinking? He's like, I was not in control of that situation at all. You know, I'm Pickle Rick. But
you guys heard about Lower Decks, right?
No.
So one of the creators of Rick and Morty, the guy who did the amazing Star Trek The Next Generation Season 8 on Twitter, which is one of the funniest Twitter follows you can ever have. He is doing an animated Star Trek comedy for CBS All Access called Star Trek Lower Decks. And the tagline is that it's about the lowest ranking people on one of Starfleet's least important ships. So I am super looking forward to that.
Nice. You know, that would be how like most games end up, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to play a big name character, but at the end of the day, like you kind of want to just live that life as a low level functionary on a starship.
Right.
You know, here I am just, you know, cranking away here on this reactor. Fuck, I hope I don't die.
Yeah, because in reality, too, you're not, all these away missions they used to lead, you're not getting a senior staff officer out on these away missions.
Shit, no. I mean, outside of the show where it's like the XO, the captain, the chief security operator, and then you got some low-level functionaries in fucking red uniforms, and you're like, well, gold uniforms when we get to the next gen. And not one of those guys going like, you know what? Jim, Steve, and Rick were on the last one, and not one of the motherfuckers came back.
Yeah.
You know. And then Tasha, she got her neck broke by some fucking sludge monster.
Yeah.
I stand no chance. I don't even have a name. I don't even get credited.
Yeah, you know, that's going to end badly. So, speaking of ending badly, I have to
kind of like this show. Sorry, I talk a lot, man. So, I mean, if you stuck through this, through the whole thing, God bless you.
That's good radio. That is especially good. Pantsless sniper missions,
which will be on the next episode of the Band Podcast. Stay tuned.
On that note, this has been Chuck, Nick, and Walt for the Band Podcast. Anything before we call it a show?
Support indie comics. I mean, not just mine, please support mine, but but go out there. There's a lot of good stuff on Kickstarter. There's a lot of very talented people out here trying to get their foot in the door, trying to get their product out there. Give it a look. Just type in comic books, because Marvel and DC ain't promoting their shit on Kickstarter, so it's going to be all indie, and there are some phenomenal projects out there. So give them a look, give them a like, give them a share. If you can't put any money up front, at least share it, you know, because sharing is caring, as they taught us in grade school.
Chuck, final thought?
I agree with Nick. Support indie comics. Sounds right, fantastic.
All right, folks. Yeah. Boom.